Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Welcome to our program. You may recall a couple of days ago I talked about Bible interpretation, namely the idea so many embrace today that we can just make the Bible say whatever we want it to say, that interpretation is a matter of private opinion, or at least that we must guess, and there is no way to know for sure what God meant. Some might even spiritualize the process by claiming to have asked the Holy Spirit to explain a specific passage of Scripture to them. As you can guess, I'm going to continue with that today. This subject is so important, I wanted to give it just a little more attention. Now, some of you are thinking, Bob, who are we to figure out God? Of course it's mysterious. Of course we can't understand him. My friend, nobody is talking about figuring out God. The message of Jesus is that God made the first move, that God came to us, that God made himself known. Little children don't figure out adults either, but adults are capable of speaking to their kids. They are capable of communicating to children just exactly what they want them to understand at their level in their language. Sola Scriptura. That's the Latin wording for Scripture alone, a very popular slogan of the reformer Martin Luther, who broke from the Catholic Church in the 1500s. Okay, actually, he didn't break from them. They kicked him out. And they kicked him out, among other reasons, for a disagreement over how to read the Bible. Supposedly, Luther's followers, commonly called Protestants because they were protesting something, and today more often called evangelicals, that would refer not only to movements of Martin Luther, but John Calvin, other reformers, and going right on into the 20th century, as we trace that movement, we call them evangelicals. They believe we can read the Bible for ourselves without the Pope, without some other clergyman explaining to us what the Bible really means. If you are an evangelical, you probably agree with me so far. You're saying to yourself, of course we can read the Bible for ourselves. God's word is very clear. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Well, just stay with me, friend. I submit that most Protestants and evangelicals do not really believe this at all. They should, but they don't. They approach the Bible in ways very similar to the Catholics. They may swear that the Bible is sufficient, but don't you believe them for a second, because for the most part, Protestants still maintain a Catholic mentality. I'll prove it to you. I'll give you an example. Have you ever been to a Bible study? Before it begins, somebody opens in prayer, maybe the teacher, maybe someone else in the group. The prayer goes something like this. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit open up our eyes and our hearts as we turn to your word so that we may understand your teaching. All right, now please know, I don't get upset with people for making this prayer because it's an innocent prayer. They mean well. Nevertheless, the prayer speaks volumes about their beliefs. Are we of the opinion that the Bible cannot be understood unless the Holy Spirit first does some kind of miracle and tells us what it means? This is the way Mormons talk about the Bible, and Christians jump all over them for it. Mormons say the Bible is too spiritual to be understood. The only difference is that they believe the Holy Spirit explains the meaning through Joseph Smith or another of their prophets. And of course, this is also the Catholic mentality that church councils, church clergy, church traditions over the years interpret Scripture. My friends, allow me to pose a simple question, an extremely simple, basic question. If the Bible is really so mysterious, if its meaning is so hidden, why did God bother to give it to us in the first place? Why not just allow us to follow any opinion we want about his will and message? Now, at least Catholics and Mormons respect the Bible. Some with less respect take a similar approach. Hey, man, the Bible can be interpreted 100 different ways. Translation. Usually that means there's some passage they simply do not like. Something about sin, maybe something about hell or judgment, something in their lifestyle that's being challenged. And they would be absolutely delighted to reinterpret these mysterious verses. Such discussion about interpretation also brings us dangerously close to the belief that some portions of the Bible are more inspired than others, more inspired by God than other passages. Whenever I hear this kind of comment, I always ask the following question, okay? What is your objective standard for deciding which passages are inspired and which aren't, aside from disregarding the passages you don't like? Oh, my friends, I've had this question so many times. Jesus was a God of love. All he talked about was love. I go, really? But over here he talked about tough love. Over here he talked about sin. Over here he talked about hell. Oh, well, we don't know that Jesus really said that. The Bible's been rewritten. The Bible's been mistranslated. I don't believe that part is really inspired. Okay, well then how do you know this part over here where Jesus talks about love is inspired? Well, the reason he knew is because he liked that part. It really doesn't go beyond that. Sometimes unbelievers are more honest than Christians about this. Mark Twain, no Christian by any way, shape, or form, was at least honest enough to admit that he wasn't bothered about the scriptures he didn't understand. He was bothered about the ones he did understand. Yeah, but Bob, I've seen passages which are honestly difficult to understand. Isn't there some interpretation necessary when it comes to reading the Bible? Well, my friend, it all depends on what we mean by interpretation. If we mean that the Bible is a collection of different manuscripts, 2,000 years old for the New Testament, over 3,000 years old for the Old Testament, written in different languages and handed down from cultures much different than our own, yes, of course we must interpret, but the science of studying ancient manuscripts is an objective process. We call this field of study hermeneutics. Obviously, if one does not know what a Pharisee is or what a Sadducee is, well, then a lot of Jesus' words and admonitions in the Gospels will make no sense. It's also important to know that in ancient Greek, the language of the New Testament, there were many different words for love, and we translate with only one English word. I did a whole show on that, and you can say this about a lot of other words in Greek, too. The Bible is also a wide variety of writing styles, because the Bible is not merely one book. It is a collection, a small library, if you will, of 66 separate documents. Some of them were written as poetry. Some of them were written as history. Some are letters from the apostles. These letters, for the most part, do not contain teachings because they were written to the churches as reminders of things that had already been taught when Paul or Peter or others were with the communities in person. So we must compare several of these letters before understanding the teachings of the apostles. Hermeneutics studies language, culture, context, corroborative historical documents that were contemporaries of the Bible, and writing style. We do not read a book of poetry like Psalms or Proverbs or even certain places where the prophets wrote. We don't read that the way we would read a letter like Romans or a history book like Acts. When Hebrew poetry talks about trees clapping their hands, I don't take that literally. Because again, I am reading a poem, but I take it to mean something about God, something about praising God and honoring God. But when Paul talks about sin, I do take it literally. Yes, all of this is technically interpretation, but again, my friend, it is objective interpretation. It seeks an answer to the question, what was the original writer intending to say, and what did his original audience understand him to mean? On the other hand, if what we mean when we use the word interpretation is, the Bible says whatever I want it to say, then that is bogus. I would also dismiss the more sincere but no less misguided belief that the Bible is mysterious and we need some prophet to explain it to us, or we need the Holy Spirit to enlighten us. That belief smacks into the face of God's whole purpose in providing the Bible. We have a God who speaks clearly, who wants us to know his will, who does not give us codes and secret messages. His own word tells us we need no outside interpretation. 1 Peter chapter 1. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. We do not throw away the rules of literary criticism simply because we are reading from a book called the Bible, or the Word of God. Yes, the Bible is spiritual in its inspiration. It is also spiritual in its application. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, we would not be able to apply the Bible to our lives. But as far as reading it, a Christian, a Buddhist, and an atheist should all be able to read the same passage of Scripture and agree as to what it says. I'm serious. Oh, sure, they may disagree as to whether or not they like it. They may disagree as to whether or not they believe it. They may disagree as to whether or not they plan to obey it, but they should agree as to what it says. When Paul greets the Corinthians, are we to pray over the meaning of it to see if he was really greeting the Galatians? You're thinking, okay, but what about parables? There are places where the meaning isn't crystal clear right at the top. Well, I did speak about parables a little bit the other day, but let's examine that more closely right now. Parables were very simple stories with one basic moral message. Put in the context of Jesus' linear teaching, it is not too difficult to understand a parable's meaning. It is true that this unusual teaching method made the point a little less apparent at first. This was a method of communication. I talked about this on the other show. This method provoked thought. Instead of just handing the truth on a silver platter, a seeking disciple would understand the meaning of the parable. What do I mean by that? Well, on many occasions, when we stumble into the parables of Jesus, all you have to do is keep on reading. And sooner or later, we see Jesus' band of merry men asking him what the parable meant. And then Jesus tells them what it meant, and we can read that too. This isn't rocket science, my friends. Look at the parable of the sower and the seed. It's found in Matthew chapter 13. After the disciples ask Jesus to explain it, he gives an extremely detailed explanation. He says, "The seeds are the word of God. The birds are Satan." There's no doubt whatsoever of his meaning, and it leaves no room for additional interpretation. So even New Testament parables are not beyond our ability to understand. It may interest you to know that the idea of a secret hidden meaning in the Bible was unknown to the Jews until a pivotal event in their history, and that will be the subject of tomorrow's show. In the meantime, this is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.